Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's true that gambling does get the adrenaline going, and in Massachusetts right now, emotions over the casino stalemate are running so high, it's come to unusually feisty political rhetoric and passionate fist-pounding. Here's Governor Deval Patrick earlier today.
We do this over and over again in the Commonwealth. We yield to short-term interests of a few powerful people, and we set aside the long-term best economic and social interests of the Commonwealth. I said when I ran 4 years ago that we would bring a difference. This is that difference.
Well, not according to House Speaker Robert DeLeo, who yesterday saw the difference more along the lines of plus or minus thousands of jobs and millions of dollars.
Make no mistake about this. Anything short of the Governor Patrick signing this bill represents a decision to kill the prospects of 15,000 new jobs and bring immediate local aid to our cities and towns.
But Patrick is standing fast. Not only will he not sign the expanded gambling bill currently on his desk, a bill that approves three casinos and two slot parlors at racetracks, but he's sending it back to the legislature with an amendment eliminating the slot parlors altogether. So today, that's where we stand. There isn't a single slot machine in Massachusetts yet, but those one-armed bandits already seem to be robbing Beacon Hill of any ability to compromise. Joining us now with the latest is Craig Sandler. He's the founder and general manager of the Statehouse News Service. Welcome back, Craig.
So good to be here.
Also with us is WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nickisch. Welcome, Kurt.
Hi.
Okay, so Craig and Kurt, if you could just bring us up to date. There was a lot of heated talk today, but has the governor actually sent this amended bill back, and what's going to happen next?
As I walked out of the building earlier, he had not yet sent the amendment, but I think we're looking for him to do it today. Basically, he says he's sending them an amendment that would authorize what he wants, what he now insists on, which is three casinos and only three casinos, no slot machines at all. And he made explicit that he is retreating from his stance of supporting one slot parlor.
Which was just a few days ago.
Precisely. And he cast that as something he wasn't too thrilled to do, but it was, if you will, an olive branch, you know, or his last best compromise.
So, Kurt, does that mean that all the parties are further apart than they ever have been before?
Yeah, that's what's kind of interesting. We actually are now further apart than we were on Saturday morning, where the governor wanted one of these, you know, so-called racinos, DeLeo and Therese Murray, the two leaders of the two chambers. They both wanted two, and so now the governor says, "Okay, no deal. We're back to none at all."
And he's clearly now drawn out his political position. He and his people have thought through where he wants to be on this issue. You could hear in that great clip. That was a very telling political clip that he is now sort of reclaiming the mantle of the outsider of Together We Can.
The Governor Patrick is.
Absolutely.
The principled stand.
Yeah. Yep. And signaling that he is the change agent against the legislature.
Well, he's also in that speech. Well, it wasn't a speech. He was taking questions, actually, a little earlier today from reporters. He also basically reiterated one of the sort of fundamental, not political, but policy reasons why he disapproves of those concepts of having slot machines at the racetracks. Let's listen to that.
The issue around no-bid contracts is a serious one. The public wants transparency and integrity in what we do here. And we're talking about four tracks, two of which have said publicly and repeatedly that they are not interested in racinos.
So Craig Sandler, I mean, that was Governor Patrick saying that means that with the two that are remaining, they basically wouldn't have to bid on them. So my question is Robert DeLeo, on the other hand, says by vetoing this bill or sending it back that it's going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and those 15,000 jobs. So do you think that this principled stand, as you said, that the governor might be taking is actually going to help him in the long run?
I think that there's certainly a block of voters that will respond very positively to the no-bid rhetoric and to the principled stand against the sort of the lower form, the most addictive form of gambling, and the insistence that we have to have destinations. You know, in his opinion, those are the real economic drivers and the real job creators, the casinos. Having said that, frankly, I'm not sure that he collects votes from people whose votes he wasn't going to get anyway. What you could hear in the earlier sound, though, was him drawing himself more broadly as an anti-legislature and between the lines anti-union force, which he needs to do against Charlie Baker, which he needs to do in Scott Brown's Massachusetts.
I was going to say that, you know, up until just today, it seemed like House Speaker Robert DeLeo had the better political stand, because he was talking about, you know, jobs and revenue, and Patrick was using kind of this tougher, more nuanced language about, you know, not the most ideal competitive bidding processes and so on. But I think Craig's right that the governor has really staked out this message.
I think that's his best. I think it's his best position. I actually still think that when you come right down to it, it's a close call. Everybody loses, but DeLeo loses the least. I actually think that what average people are going to say is, well, wait a second, you were in favor of slot machines on Saturday, so it's not that principled, number one. Number two, we want casinos in this state. We want legalized gambling. There's never been a poll where it wasn't suggested that people don't want legalized gambling. You guys messed it up. And you guys, ultimately, it does come down to the governor. You know, there's not going to be a lot of reps and senators losing their job. But the governor, if it's really perceived that this was a mess up, the governor, I think, is very liable.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. So if you say people are going to be pointing the fingers at the governor saying, you messed it up because you didn't sign this bill, they got one to your desk finally after years of wrangling.
Yep.
But, you know, it makes me wonder, maybe you could actually say also the other way around, that, you know, Governor Patrick today said, hey, why don't we just put together a bill on the things we all agree on, the three casinos,
right?
Whereas it's House Speaker Robert DeLeo, who's been the champion of these slot machines. Senate President Theresa Murray has never said she liked that idea. Yeah. And so couldn't you all actually also say that instead it's
yes.
Actually Speaker DeLeo who's kind of lost sight of the forest for the trees by saying it's slot machines have to be part of this final bill. He's giving up. He's the one who's pushing an agenda that may ultimately sacrifice 15,000 jobs and millions and millions of dollars in revenue that's supposed to come from these big casinos and not necessarily all the slots.
That's one of the reasons it's such a great story to cover, particularly at this point. You know, it's one of those ones where both sides are right or both sides are wrong, however you want to look at it. But, I mean, it is absolutely valid to say that, on the other hand, the real question here is one of arithmetic. How does it move votes on November 2nd? And, you know, it is my very weak conviction that there was probably more votes to be moved towards Patrick by signing a casino bill this weekend than there is by now moving to this position, and that DeLeo's words still ring true.
I think that was probably something DeLeo was counting on. He knew the governor had more to lose, and that the governor would you know, eventually cave to DeLeo's, you know, what he calls a compromise position of just two of these racetrack slots.
Kurt, where does Senate President Therese Murray stand in all of this? She's been remarkably quiet over the weekend and today.
Yeah, well, quiet, and I saw her on Friday when she and DeLeo both announced that they had come to this compromise bill with two racinos in it. And her body language was really interesting, because she took the podium and then immediately kind of stepped aside. She had her arms crossed the whole time. She, in some sense, has kind of stepped out of the way and let these other two players, you know, take each other on. Ironically, we may actually come to a situation now where if the state legislature wants to override a veto that may well be coming, DeLeo promised that he would override that veto. Mm-hmm. She is in charge of the chamber that would have to, you know, where it would really be a contest. And so is she going to put her political will into making that happen or not?
She needs to move two votes if they're going to come back into session with any kind of two-thirds vote. And then if there's an override vote, she needs to move two votes. The vote in the Senate was 25-15. And that's too short of the two-thirds needed to override. And I don't think it could happen. But right now, I can't imagine those two votes shifting. And I don't think she wants to put herself in that position. I think she has handled this quite deftly. She hasn't taken a very firm position, but she's been pretty cooperative at each step.
But at least as of this moment, we don't even know if the legislature is going to be willing to come back into session to deal with this.
In an election year, right now, it absolutely doesn't sound that way.
Well, Craig, let me ask you, I mean, while there was all this fire and light over casinos, there were other things actually were happening.
Yeah, they did laws.
On Beacon Hill. They passed some legislation. What did actually happen and what didn't happen beyond casinos up on Beacon Hill up until the last minute on Saturday?
That's right. Well, I mean, the governor actually, as part of the rhetorical couching of casinos, said, I'll take this as part of an economic development package. And they did send him some pieces of that, most of them, as a matter of fact. There was a healthcare reform bill for small businesses that basically caps the administrative costs that insurers can pass along to small businesses, which all the small business groups up there are going are really applauding. They're really their language about them is about that. The passage of that is extremely favorable, and not in a big business-y, special interest-y kind of way. I think it really will help a lot of small businesses and make insurance more affordable for a lot of employers in Massachusetts.
Interesting. If it weren't for casinos, that'd probably get a lot more attention.
Oh, absolutely. In this year of all years with healthcare.
And we also had Corey reform, some form of Corey reform passing.
You know, it's a major victory for Patrick. He campaigned on this rather courageously, most people thought, in 06 and won the issue. We will, in fact, make it more difficult to get at criminal information for job applicants that'll be available a shorter amount of time, which will help more people rehabilitate themselves, say proponents. And in fact, that was a big victory for Patrick, so far overlooked. We passed the school nutrition bill. It's been discussed here and elsewhere. Passed a bill limiting, changing the age. I don't have it on the top of my head. Changing the age at which you can ride an SUV by yourself and providing other safety measures for operators of SUVs. We changed the prescription monitoring system in Massachusetts.
So, Kurt, do you feel like there was a whirlwind of actual action on Beacon Hill?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, maybe in the spirit of stalemate and deadlock that we saw in the casino bill, I'll take a little bit of an exception and say that you know, this wasn't all that amazing. I mean, the healthcare bill was scaled back, so they had actually something more ambitious on the table.
And because, let me point out, sorry, but because the House passed its version in the last week of the session. If they had passed it in April or March or last year, it probably could have been more robust.
Sorry. Right. So then you can question sort of the productivity of that.
And the process, yep.
You know, an ATV safety bill, something like that is I think that's just de rigueur for legislative sessions. So, you know.
Oh, I might have said SUVs, by the way. Sorry.
You meant ATVs, yeah.
Right. That's later.
So not that incredible. I mean, the state is facing huge fiscal problems, has huge, you know, spending issues and revenue issues. And, you know, they passed a budget and did these other things, but they're still very much ahead of them.
And the rest of us now are looking at potentially another year of discussing casinos if this gets pushed off to the next legislative session.
Oh, years, Megan.
Or years. Thank you, Craig, for lifting my spirits there.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Craig Sandler, owner and general manager of the State House News Service. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Kurt Nickisch, business and technology reporter for WBUR. Thank you as well.
It's fun.
Coming up, President Barack Obama says the war in Iraq will end this month. But former Army Colonel Andrew Bacevich says that unless politicians change, and he means really change, the nature and purpose of U.S. war making, the military commitment around the world will never end. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.